Hello and welcome back to JLXP. It has been a while since the last episode, but we are back here in Korea at Worlds, and we're going to be able to bring you weekly episodes throughout the entire World Championship. I'm also going to be working on a behind-the-scenes docuseries on the LCS YouTube channel called Let's Go, so definitely go check that out as well. This episode, I'm getting a chance to talk to Contrax. We actually talk about his 2017 Worlds run on C9, how they actually advanced out of the group stage, took WE to 5 games, what he thought about his play back then, and compared that to this year with NRG, what it felt like to win the finals and what it's been like being here in Korea, scrimming, solo queuing, and ultimately preparing for the World Championship. So it was a really enjoyable conversation, and I hope you like it. Contrax, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I mean, you're almost welcoming me to Korea because you've been here for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I just got here yesterday.
I've been here for a month.
Yeah, how's it been?
Pretty good, honestly. I think the first couple of weeks I was kind of acclimating and trying to find my routine. Mm-hmm. I think I kind of was playing too many games and not taking care of my health enough.
How many games is too many games?
Somewhere in between 12 and 15, obviously. Okay. It's not like crazy, yeah. But I think, you know, for where I was at and taking care of myself and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Adapting to the jet lag, yeah, adapting to a new country.
It was, I definitely should have started off a little bit slower, I think, but I'm finding my groove in things now. So.
Yeah, I was talking to Palafox earlier. Apparently, he's averaging like 15 games a day across the entire trip, which is like the third highest of anyone who's here.
Yeah, I mean, he's like sacrificing sleep for it. He says he's sleeping like 4 to 6 hours. I'm like,
he told me the day that he cut back and slept more, he like magically played better. It's like, well, it's not magic.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the last time you were at Worlds, though. So we'll talk about back then, and then we'll talk about this year. 2017, rookie year, Cloud9, through the play-in phase, all the way through group stage, one of the only NA teams to actually ever make it through group stage, lose the first game to WE on like a bunch of Kog'Maw crits, win the next 2 games, lose the final 2 out in 5 games, and then everything you went through in North America, not really finding that same success, all the way back to here making it. But tell me kind of what was different about 2017 compared to where you are now.
Oh, it was way different. I mean, it was like the beginning of my career. I was a completely different person. I was still a kid at the time. Very young, very quiet.
17 or were you 18 by the time Worlds happened?
I was 18 by the time Worlds happened, but yeah. The year started, I was 17. I was just a really quiet kid. I kind of kept to myself. I kind of let my team do the leading, and my team at the time was very like consistent, very stable. They had like really good fundamentals with like basic things, mm-hmm. and I was just kind of along for the ride, and I would throw in like a little bit of spice because I wouldn't really communicate well about how I wanted to do things, but I would kind of just do it.
Right.
And then they'd have to just be ready, you know? Yeah.
So and you were the wild card on
the
team.
Yeah, I was pretty much the wild card in that team. So pretty much, obviously, I improved on it throughout the year, but mm-hmm. I think by the end of that year, I was still kind of a wild card.
Right.
In a sense.
It's so interesting because, some I talked with Palafox about earlier, the ignorance is bliss thing about being at Worlds and like having failure or success. Was there a sense of fearlessness that maybe helped back then? Or is it more that you were just in an environment that was able to complement your skills at the time?
I think a bit of both. I think obviously I was in a very good situation for where I was at. And I think being young does give you that like fearlessness for sure. I think it does help against like bigger competition just because, you know, people can get kind of intimidated by big names mm-hmm. quite easily. Mm-hmm. And not like either play to their potential or like play too reserved. Not punish when the enemy is like trolling just because it's like a big name, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like that's pretty common. But honestly, something that I think NRG has now is that like fearlessness of like, just because they're a big name, it doesn't really matter. I think that's how we've always been throughout the whole year.
Right. Going back to the series against WE, I know it was a long time ago, but it's really crazy to me to think like I go through all the years of NA in group stage, they changed the format this year, but there was basically the same group format all the way since 2014. 2014 was like the best year because back then TSM and Cloud9 made it through. But then 2015, nobody made it through. 2016, one team. 2017, one team, you guys. 2018, one team. 0-0, 1-0. So all told, six of 27 teams that made it, that any teams that were in group stage ever actually made it out. So you're one of six. But then also, it feels like you were like a crit away or one game away from making it into semifinals against Samsung. It was really, really close to being maybe like NA's best performance at Worlds, because the other best performance was Cloud9 making semifinals. They won the quarterfinal, obviously, against Afrika 3-0, but you were like a game away from being able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we could have done it 1 year earlier. I always used to think back on that series for like a really long time after that, just because of how close it was. Even like the first game, we were up like 5,000-6,000 gold.
Yep.
And it went to like
50 minutes.
I remember we trolled at like a top tier two and we took just a really bad fight or something. And just, I think we all died. And then we had two more Jarvan games, one of those. And then after the first three games, they finally figured out to ban Jarvan and pick something else. So
Sejuani.
Yeah. They banned Jarvan. I think they put me on Sej in the last two games. Yeah. I think they played Gragas or Maokai, I believe.
Yeah, I remember the very last game they had Galio, Janna.
Yeah, and it just became a disaster. An absolute disaster of a comp. I think we were like three melees versus, I mean, at the time it was Arden Sensor meta.
Yeah.
It was just full peel the Kog'Maw and we have nothing to actually get on them and no damage. So it's like if we didn't win the lane or snowball hard enough, then we're just going to lose because we have no other tools for it. But I mean, world competition is fun. I mean, we went into that series with like, you know, we just like believing in ourselves, no expectations of like how the series was going to go, but just like, you know, putting our best foot forward. And it kind of showed that like international competition is like, it's really still anyone's game. Obviously it was a different time back then, but,
I mean, how different was it? I've tried to have this conversation with a few people of like, the longer it goes where, say, North America goes to Worlds and then doesn't succeed, the more like demoralized people get. But has it changed? Or like scrims in C9 back in 2017 compared to scrims now, do you feel like it's more desperate or disparate or the same?
Back then, we actually didn't scrim too many Asian teams. I think we probably scrimmed RNG once, and I think we did get boxed out by them.
Right.
I think they did own us. It was MLXG at the time.
Well, it was a little different, too, because there were three Korean teams, three Chinese teams. Now there's 4-4.
Yeah.
And there were more, like, minor region teams, basically, that you'd be able to scrim against.
Yeah, we scrimmed mostly versus Europe at the time.
Okay.
That was when Europe was, like, not where they were in the, in the years.
Yeah, they didn't get, like, after the G2 resurgence.
Yeah, I think they were more so, like, on the come up. They weren't as good as NA in that year, but they were definitely like, I think they unleashed their potential kind of like the year after and then 2019 as well. So like our scrims versus EU were, I think, pretty our favorite as well.
Yeah.
But I think back then, I mean, it's just hard to gauge now. But,
I know it's, I mean, 6 years different.
Players have just gotten so much better now.
Or just across the board.
Across the board throughout every single region. So.
Yeah, like if you were to put yourself now on the Cloud9 team back then, do you think you beat WE? I know it's kind of a silly question. You're like, of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm a much smarter player, but it was also a different meta. But I mean, I'm sure if I went back.
Jarvan Sejuani, you could pull it off.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I would probably win the series if I go back. I mean, 6 years is a lot of time to just grow and improve. I'm such a different player than I was back then.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone gets to practice the game at the same rate. And there's a surprising number of long-time veterans, even in LPL and LCK. Like way back in League, I remember thinking, how many years are people going to be able to play? And a lot of times people thought esports players are going to burn out in like 2 years.
Yeah, I actually looked at Mako on EDG, his Wikipedia the other day. I was like, he's on EDG for like 8 years or so, 7 or 8 years. I was like, wow.
Xiaohu, Xiaohu's won 3 MSIs, but he's been to 7 Worlds.
It's crazy.
I don't know. It's impressive, but also just the acquired skills year after year, I feel like makes it harder and harder for like a new player to come and supplant them. As much as it's great to be younger and people say they have like better hands, there's this LPL thing where AD carries have to be super young a lot of the time. But I agree with you that the game has gotten harder and harder. Looking at this year in particular, I'm still, and I'm curious if you still think about it, it was so shocking that Energy won before the playoffs. We have these prep documents where we look at a bunch of stats throughout the year and in playoffs, and it almost looked like the Energy in the regular season was like a completely different team than the team in playoffs. Like every stat across the board just went up, especially your early game was just so dominant. I don't know. I actually haven't asked you, like, how do you feel now? What is it, like almost 2 months after winning the LCS?
That's crazy. It's been 2 months already?
Holy. Almost 2 months. I mean, like a month. I mean, pretty close. It was on the 20th of August, and we're doing this on October 16th. So it's almost 2 months, man.
That's crazy.
It's going to be the longest gap from NA Finals to Worlds it's like ever happened as well, because Asia Games delayed everything. Right. But yeah, what's it feel like?
It feels crazy. I mean, definitely like when you told me with that I'd win this split when we were like 3-7, I don't think I would have believed you. But I mean that just shows like how much work we put in as a team. I think we had a lot of like humps that we had to get over, specifically like connecting ourselves to each other and like just being on the same page. I think like that's like our big step over a lot of NA teams. I feel like our synergy and cohesiveness is like quite a bit above a lot of teams.
The vibes as well.
Yeah, I mean, always the vibes.
Your vibe seems so good. The clip from a few months back, I think Emily put them together, where you guys were watching your season highlights.
That was fun. I enjoyed that. We're just bantering. I mean, no one's afraid to like just say it straight to each other, because I mean, in the end, it's like, yeah, we'll get riled up and maybe we'll have some arguments, but I mean, it's totally normal. It just depends on like how you resolve it in the end, right?
So, yeah.
I think like the biggest turnover that we had as a team throughout this split was like, you know, after that like 3-7 point, I think we lost the TSM one game, and I swear we just had like a, I don't know if it was like an hour meeting or something, but we kind of just stuck all of our problems out there, and you know, we had like an off day and like a weekend to think about it, and we just came back into practice like ready to go. I think a lot of people put in work to like improve their champion pools. Like,
right.
I remember I couldn't play Maokai at all for like the first half of the split.
And then you can't play Maokai Jace.
Yeah. And it's it was so duo. OP at the time. Yeah. I mean, I think the TSM game, I literally went like 0-9 on Maokai. So
it was like the
bottom of the barrel, you know?
Yeah.
So I just played a lot of Maokai in solo queue just to try to like pick it up, really get the play style down. And, you know, we added that one to our pool. And I think we took a game off TL with it in summer finals. So.
What are some of your expectations? I know it's tricky, but what are some of your expectations going into Worlds?
Honestly, I think we can do really well. I mean,
yeah.
I know scrims aren't everything, and you know, sure, there's like maybe some disrespect from the Asian teams in scrims, or like maybe they're not playing up to, or maybe they'll just play different on stage, but they're definitely really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, these teams are crazy good. The way they like utilize tempo, the way they play skirmishes out, the way they think like 1-2 steps ahead all the time, it's really insane. Like, it feels like you have like no time to like think. If you're just like behind a step, then you're just gonna be behind the whole game. You have to also be thinking like 1-2 steps ahead and really like keep the tempo up. And in NA, you didn't really have time to like do any of that. Like, you always, like, you have a lot of breathing room. And, but basically, I mean, I just think like the scrim results aren't bad. The advantages and leads that we get aren't bad.
Yeah. I mean, are you sticking with some of the teams in the early game? Cause that's always such a hard hurdle.
100%.
I remember, in 2020 on TL in NA, all we did is just pick like better scaling. And then we'd hope to have one or two winning lanes. Like, a winning draft would have been two winning lanes and better scaling, which is just always going to win. But we never had to be that aggressive in NA. We didn't win the split, but we made it to Worlds. And then we actually made it through play-in with, like, Twitch Recon bot lane. I don't know if you remember the meta in 2020. That was, like, almost an elo boosting strategy. Because, like, those are not strong laners, but Tactical and Core today were, like, strong enough to get by.
Right.
And then we played Twitch Recon against Suning on stage. And they just dove us like seven times.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just over. So what we had to do is we had to basically pick all early game champions and then just hope to stick with them.
Yeah.
And then we actually managed to beat Suning one game. We beat G2. We almost made it out of groups. But like, one thing that I see about NRG when I look at some of the stats is, especially in playoffs, you had just really strong, explosive early games. And I think without that prerequisite, you have like no chance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think our early games in NA were like pretty good, but even those early games aren't enough to really combat the Asian teams, I feel.
Yeah.
The amount of like, so basically when you go through an early game, you go through like the steps, right? You go through like who can get Dove, who gets Prowl, you know, where you need to path if you're going to get invaded.
Yeah. Do you do the checklist with your laners where you're just asking like who gets pushed?
Yeah, you
like,
basically see who gets Prowl. Yeah. You think about your jungle matchup. You think about their lane matchups. Like if they're going to need help on the bounce, if they're going to, you know, maybe they can just push three, go ward, invade, you know, just all that jazz. And like, it feels like the Asian teams just take it like a step further. Like,
okay.
They just think of like more opportunities than I wouldn't even have imagined. The way they utilize like vision level one, vision level two, like, I mean, they're just really smart. I feel like they just make really consistent plans, and I've had to level up my early game, or like just as a team, we've had to level up early game even more. So,
yeah. With those checklists, were there, I mean, I'm sure this probably happened, but you ask who gets Prio and then the game happens and then just nobody has Prio.
Yeah. It's right? happened before. Obviously. It's like, you know, they're also learning their lane matchups.
They're like learning the matchups. Like, well, actually, haven't played against this guy's Jax before.
In NA, I would get Prio here, but this guy's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely just a lot of learning. And even though my lane say like they get Prio or don't get Prio, I try to just like judge it for
watch
myself.
Watch the lane while
too.
You're jungling.
Yeah. I just try to make more like consistent like decisions and just like put myself in like the laner shoes more so.
Yeah. Scrims are hard, man. How'd everyone feel about the Weibo Gaming draw?
Yeah, I mean, the first day that we got here, we scrimmed Weibo and got absolutely owned. But it was also the first day that we scrimmed versus like an actual Asian team. So we've gotten a lot better since then. I think we've had like almost 3 weeks practice after that. So
yeah,
I'm excited. I mean, they play really fast-paced. They remind me a lot of us, kind of. Mm. Like, a lot of chaos, a lot of, like, aggressiveness, a lot of, like, skirmishing, a lot of team fighting. They kind of just on the gas all the whole game, especially the Shy, obviously.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
I also think that you really need to be ready for the first 2 days. Looking at the way the format works, there's 8 best-of-ones on day one. Then another draw show where the 1-0 teams will randomly be drawn against each other and the 0-1 teams will randomly be drawn against each other. Then another best of one day. And then if you're 2-0 after that, you only have to win one best of three and you'll get an opportunity to play three of them. Mm-hmm. But if you're 0-2, then obviously you'd then have to win 3 best of threes to make it through. So the sharpness level on the first 2 days is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, Asian teams aren't unbeatable. That's all I'm saying. I think
they're not. They're not hard to beat, but they're not unbeatable.
Not unbeatable.
Yes.
As long as we have good plans, good draft.
Yep. Flip a level one here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, honestly, Asian teams have really solid level ones. They really think about the early game.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in the LPL. What do you think about some of the other NA teams' chances? Let's, like C9, for instance, because you had their number at the end.
Yeah.
But have you scrimmed them at all here? What do you think their form's like?
I definitely think we have the upper hand in scrims, at least for C9. I think they have like solid laners, but I feel like even though they have good individual skill, I feel like they still don't come together as like a unit to really like make a cohesive plan. It seems like a lot of them are kind of like, kind of just like making their own plays in a sense, whether that's like they think it's their correct play or like they're just playing for their individual condition. I feel like overall they kind of just need to buy in more with like their teammates, and I think they do better.
Yeah,
but I mean they're definitely not bad at all. I mean they got a good draw too, the reverse mad. So I think they definitely can take that game.
Yeah, my take on C9 at the moment is, it's always nice to have Berserker. I think he's like, when he's on, he's legitimately incredible. I hope MNS performs well, because I feel like he's one of their most inconsistent players. Like, some games he's just godlike, other games it seems like he's tilted. I am a little worried about Zven, because I definitely feel like the support meta has gone back to the Rakan, Nautilus, Alistair, full engage stuff, and he's definitely he's definitely improved on that stuff, but he was by far, when compared to other supports, just much better in the Lulu meta.
Yeah.
And then Fudge, never know what to think because he's one of those guys that plays pretty much everything, which works very well in NA, but then up against Western or Eastern top laners, it's always a little harder.
Yeah, I mean, especially with like Fudge's recent like international performance, it feels like he's always been kind of like on the back foot of things. But I think like when, like you said, similar to Berserker, when he's on, he's on. I feel like, I think the most important thing is just T9 needs to like secure themselves a pretty good like bot condition. I think that'll be the most important thing for them this tournament. I think they just have to play around Berserker.
Yeah,
I think that should.
What about that's our buddies TL, Team Liquid?
I actually have no idea.
So I will say that Yon and APA have played an ungodly amount of solo queue.
When I saw Yon's numbers, I actually died inside.
He's played 750 games in Korean solo queue?
I mean, he's been here for 2 months, but still, my God.
But keeping that pace up for 2 months?
That's crazy. I think my wrists would fall off.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's always been such a grinder. So those two are grinding. I do hope Core JJ fits into this meta a lot better. Summit is such a strong laner, such a not strong other things a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's similar to Dokla. He has a tendency to kind of die on sight a lot.
Summit probably more than Dokla.
I think Dokla dies more when we're doing things. So it's not as punishing.
Oh, sure, sure.
But Summit dies when his team's like off map or like not in position to punish.
Yeah.
They can't do anything.
Piosik is the defending world champion.
Yeah.
They got one small glimmer hope right there.
That's true. Every time I ran into Piosik in solo queue, I've beat him though.
Okay.
I haven't scrimmed them yet this world.
Oh, really?
So I have no idea what they look like, but.
Have you been able to scrim most teams?
We've scrimmed all the one seeds from every region. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's good access. Congratulations.
Pretty good. Winning this split does that for you, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, so you felt like almost an upgrade in your like scrim power ranking because you won NA?
I suppose so. I mean, I don't think we'd be able to get number one seeds if you're second or third.
I guess.
I mean, maybe, but I think it definitely does help a lot.
I think you're right. That's got to help a lot. Yeah. Okay. I want to do this thing where you've scrimmed a lot of teams, but I have like quick takes of some of the power players at Worlds. I think there's one other interesting storyline that you probably don't care about, but I think it's interesting going into this world championship, is Korea historically just dominates world championships in the group stage. So in the old format where there was the four team groups, 28 of the 29 teams that Korea ever sent to group stage advanced.
Wow.
Only one team didn't make it, which was Gen G in 2018.
I remember that year.
Yeah. China, 21 of 29, EU, 14 of 27, and NA, 6 of 27, which means NA only had a 22% advancement rate, but Europe had a 51% advancement rate. But what's weird about that is NA has a 40% win rate and EU has a 47% win rate. So those like one or two games each time were like the breakpoint that sent NA up or down. But the year that Korea did poorly at Worlds was the last time Worlds was in Korea.
4 years ago?
2018.
Yeah.
So it was like it was a long time ago.
Holy.
So 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be the four Worlds happened since then. This will be the fifth World since then. So there's a little bit of Korean superstition that there could be something wrong about having Worlds in Korea in terms of their success. Mm-hmm. You never know.
You could look at it the other way now. Maybe they want revenge, you know? They want to do well for their country now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it was a LCK versus LCK final last year in terms of the LCK-LPL battle. Mm-hmm. LPL won MSI, but traditionally Korea always does better. So I'm really interested in that where JDG looks like the best team in the world because they dominated MSI and they have like a perfect team at the moment, which I'll get crazy into. But Korea traditionally performs better at the World Championship. My theory about MSI and Worlds is that LPL has more this is a big generalization, but LPL generally has more distinct teams than LCK has. A lot of times LCK will be able to pick up the meta and then perfect it, whereas a lot of LPL teams just say, screw it, play their way.
Yeah.
And then because there's less time to react at MSI, that's one of the reasons LPL, by comparison, wins more MSIs than LCK, because it's a faster tournament.
Right.
They don't have as long to adapt.
Prepare and adapt, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that's a small thing.
That's a crazy stat, though. 28 out of 29. 28
of 29. And they won 21 groups of 29.
Holy. That's insane.
China only won 9 groups of 25. Like, it's nuts. NA never won a group, but that can change.
Well,
we can still advance.
Okay, yeah, we can advance. It's like a little bit different
if
now.
If you advance with if you win the first two best of ones and advance the next round, I'd consider that a win.
That's true.
That's like first place in a group.
Easy.
That's like 4-0, 4-1. Okay, I want to start at the top. JDG, I have them as like the clear favorites to win the tournament, but also they have like almost this weirdly perfect team composition in terms of players, because 369... He had this ridiculous record on Ornn. It was actually his most played.
Yeah, he's the tank god.
Yeah, the
weak
tank
side king.
Weak side tank god. Kanavi, who can play carry junglers. But then Knight and Ruler are just the two best laners, possibly in their role. So they're just like so reliably able to get gold leads and then have really good team fight structure, because 369 is able to play tanks and they have missing who just plays Rakan.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets banned a few times. But when they have amazing engage, strong laners, it's just so incredibly hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have a really good team fight formation when you have a tank and two insane carries. I feel like, yeah, I mean, you can kind of just plug and play like what you want, support jungle, whether it's like more CC or more carry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean.
My next one is a bit of a hot take, though. I would say BLG would be the best team in the world if JDG didn't exist.
I mean,
you have to think about that a little bit.
Don't they have some crazy stat where they like beat every team but lose to them?
Yeah, yeah. So they lost. So April 1st in spring, they started their streak. They went 3-1 against RNG, 3-0 against Weibo. Then they lost to JDG, beat OMG EDG in the losers bracket, lost to JDG again, beat every one of the MSI except for JDG, who they lost to twice. Then they went 16-1 in the regular season, losing to JDG, and then in the playoffs lost to JDG again. I think at that point they were tilted. They lost to LNG, and then they still made it to Worlds. But they basically went since April 1st, aside from that one series that they lost to LNG, only lost to JDG. But they're 0-7 in matches against JDG this year. It's
crazy.
So cursed.
It has to be just like it's like the C9 mental gap versus energy. Like, you just can't beat them. There's just something about them.
Yeah. One interesting thing about the way they play is they led the LPL in first Herald percentage. So they get it in 65% of their games, but they were 10th in first Dragon. So they're like super strong early game, but they just play topside through Bin.
Yeah. I mean, Bin usually plays like what? Gnar, Jax, Gwen, or
pretty much top carries, plays like a psycho. Carries.
Yeah, I mean,
and then missing their support is only in lane 27% of the time in the early game, which is the lowest in the LPL.
That guy's moving to Herald every single time.
He's just a Herald. Yeah,
I mean, that is the best way to snowball for sure. Because I mean, the chances of you actually dragon stacking in a game like that is very low.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can probably just fight for like the second or third dragon and it should be fine.
Yeah. Do you have a take of BLG being? I think most people are going to disagree that BLG would be like the second best team, but if JDG didn't exist, they really didn't lose to anybody because they're still Gen G, they're still T1. Or do you have like a dark horse
I think Gen G would probably still be the best team in the world
after
that. Yeah. I mean, I think the way Peanut plays is just too good, especially with the combination of his, you know, just Jovi and Piz. I feel like it's similar to JDG in a sense, for like, Peanut can kind of play everything. Maybe like, I mean, no, his carries are still really good too.
Yeah.
So it's just like another solid thing where you have two carries, but I guess top isn't as consistent, but.
Yeah. Well, Genji, when I look at a little bit of this is overall, cause it's not specifically game by game, looking like aggregate stats, top mid jungle is where they get all their early game leads. Paze doesn't really get ahead early. Oh, yeah, he's like a god fights. In team fights, but yeah. they play, like Pina plays topside, like yeah. so much of the early game. And then, you know, they still have Chovy. Yeah. So it's pretty nice.
I mean, it'd probably still be close. I mean, BLG is definitely up there. I respect their jungler a lot too, because he plays a lot of Kindred and Nidalee.
Yeah. I will say Genji, to your point with Peanut, 72% first blood rate, which is first in the LCK, yeah. and 70% of the games they get first turret. So pretty good.
I mean, he's just a very smart pather. I mean, you always, I feel like when I watch LCK, Peanut's like always the one that's like level 2 invading, level 3 invading, yeah. and like Poppy, Maokai, like stuff like that. I mean, I feel like he's just very smart and plays very well to like support his laners, like alleviate jungle pressure from them.
Yeah. T1. That to me, I don't know how much you follow LCK, was one of the, just the craziest stories. How bad they were without Faker. And then he just pops in Azir 1 tricks and goes all the way to finals.
Yeah, I mean, the KT series is crazy. I was never expecting KT to actually... I mean, KT literally picked them to get know. Them out early.
Oh, no. That was the biggest troll.
I mean, that's respect, though. I mean, just thinking that you're just going to knock them out of the tournament early or, like, send them down. Yeah, I mean, never underestimate D1, I guess.
Yeah. KT, for them... I was listening to Cadril's take on KT. People think he hates them because his argument is basically T1 had the Faker situation. KT only played, like, they did beat Genji, but he never felt like they were better than Genji. And then that almost inflated people's sense of KT because they had such a dominant regular season. Aiming had the highest goal difference at 14 of any team in the LCK, but he doesn't trust that team whatsoever. I think there's a chance they dark horse it because now they've flipped the script again and people have low expectations. But then they also play against BLG in the first round of Swiss, which is like super tragic.
Yeah, I mean, I think KT's definitely a good dark horse. I think they play very well when like the pressure's not on them. Mm-hmm. Cuz especially. I feel like Cuz kind of like... I mean, he doesn't seem like someone that gets like really nervous when you like listen to his comms and like just see his overall like mannerisms, but... Watching his play definitely looks like when the tension's like really high, like game five, like 40 minutes, you know,
yeah,
he definitely like gets a little bit ahead of himself. But other than that, I feel like if they can like rein in the pressure on themselves, I think they'll do really well. Cause I feel like Cus is probably the smartest jungler I've ever watched in LCK, like
really?
In the past like year. Yeah. I think.
So the Cus versus Peanut, what are some of the differences you see in their styles?
Peanut's definitely more lane centric. I feel like Cus plays more for like he plays a more like stable style, but like plays more for like camps and like objectives. Like Cuz is someone that you'll see that's like 0-0-0, but I feel like I had like 2,000 gold in right. XP or like gold in camps and stuff like that. So
that makes sense. Peanut is very team centric.
Yeah, I feel like Peanut definitely is more willing to like level 3 dive or like level 3 invade. Cuz is more like full clear, but if he has invade angles where he can like take a free camp or like push some guy off or like invade a blue or do a dragon, he'll generally will do that.
This just made me think of a bit of a tangent, but do you have an LCK or LPL jungler who feel like you are most like, or do you just try and take little bits of different junglers that you see? It might not be.
Yeah, I'm trying to compare the people that I scrimmed so far.
Because I'd say you're definitely a little more lane-centric than a lot of junglers. Like, you're not going to play like Canyon where you just...
Yeah.
He has, I think, I saw like a 34% jungle proximity, which...
That's crazy.
I don't know if you follow that stat. It's really low. He's basically only farming.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely more of like a... Who's someone that plays for lanes a lot? I mean, Peanut?
Yeah. No, there... Shoot, there is someone who specifically plays for lanes a lot.
I think Weiwei...
Yeah.
Weiwei plays a lot for lanes. He also plays like the Poppy, the Ivern, the Sedge.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was pretty much my champion pool last split too.
Yeah, Weiwei plays a lot. The Shy and Dokla.
Yeah, the Shy and Dokla. Sion, Poppy.
It's a great matchup.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Weiwei did kind of own me a bit. But I learned.
Yeah, that was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I know I asked you earlier, but I want to get your final thoughts on your expectations going into this world championship.
I mean, firstly, I do want to do it for myself and my team. Just put on a good performance that, you know, we can be proud of. as people and as players. But I feel like I just want to do it for NA, man. Like,
oh my God. I hate, yeah. Yes.
I really want to do it for NA. Like, people have been looking down on us for so long. Obviously, we haven't performed well, but I mean, I want nothing more than to just make people proud of NA, you know? I want the region I'm playing in to be like something worth watching, worth, you know, rooting for.
Yep.
You know, we couldn't do it without any of the fans. So I feel like I just want to go out there and just put on a, you know, a good performance for all the fans.
Hell yeah, man.
Appreciate that.
Good luck. Thank you. I hope you get to.